Welcome to Your Brain on Porn. This is a series for those who are hooked on porn. Only you can decide if you are. So, my wife and I have a website on relationships. It has nothing to do with porn, or at least it didn't. However, several articles were there on neuroscience of sex, orgasm and love, and evolution in sexuality and even addiction. So about 5 years ago, porn users began showing up. I guess they found us through Google and they began telling their stories and blogging and sharing, and more showed up. We learned a lot. Here's a little bit of what we learned. Number one, internet porn is not Playboy, but I bet you already knew this. You know the centerfold of the magazine gets old pretty quick. Internet porn is really far more stimulating than just images. It's really due to the endless novelty and the ability to click from one image to another. Another reason internet porn is so stimulating is that it can escalate rather quickly to more kinky or more shocking material. Number two, addictive personality is not a prerequisite for getting hooked on internet porn. Now, the standard model is that you have to have a predisposition. You have to be genetically inclined to get addicted. Well, this is definitely true. But what we found out is that many of the guys who were showing up on the site had never had any other addiction. They were just regular guys who started watching and got hooked. And what's interesting is once they got off a porn session, they returned to their quote, normal selves. Number three, understanding how heavy porn use affects the brain is very helpful to users. When you understand how the brain works, it really allows you to steer your ship a lot better when you're trying to get off porn. Here are the basics. Porn overstimulated your brain, and your brain changed. You see, being hooked on porn is due to the same brain changes that occur with all addictions. These brain changes are behind your cravings. These brain changes keep you coming back to porn, even if you want to quit. The internet porn is what we call a super stimulus. What that means is that it's way beyond what we've ever encountered during our evolution. Here's the big picture. We're a hunter-gatherer brain, living in a modern world. Our environment has drastically changed. I suppose I don't need to tell you that, yet our brains have barely evolved in the last 100,000 years. This means we are not well suited to many aspects of modern life. From living in isolated boxes, to going to work, to working in desk jobs, to worrying about global warming or the economy. We're supposed to be sitting around the campfire, not sitting in front of a computer watching internet porn for hours a day. Here's another example of environment changing, and our brains not quite catching up. I haven't seen too many pictures of fat hunter-gatherers, have you? And yet, 70% of Americans are overweight. So what's going on? Our brains are programmed to love high-calorie foods. That's necessary for survival. In the old days, it was very rare to find high-calorie foods, maybe honey, sweet fruits, nuts. Today, we have refined carbohydrates and high-fat junk foods. All of these are highly stimulating, so they cause supernormal stimulation way beyond anything we've ever encountered. Just like internet porn. Brain rule number one says, you must survive, which means get calories. For food, that means get it while the getting is good, because you don't know when something's going to rot, at least in the old days. So your primitive brain is urging you to binge at every opportunity, to get as much as you can. This leads to overconsumption. This rule also applies to sexual partners. Brain rule number two, making babies. Well, maybe that's rule number one. See, evolution's top priority is making more gene packets, more copies of you. Here's a question. In the lifetime of a hunter-gatherer, how many potential sexual partners would he or she meet? Not too many, I imagine. How about, how many would he have sex with? I'm sure a whole lot less. A heavy porn user would view more hot babes or hot guys or hot whatever in one session than our ancestors would need in several lifetimes. So this can be considered another super stimulus. Our brains never evolved to handle heavy porn use like this, and unlike junk food, you can never get full. Here's another reason internet porn is so stimulating and so addictive. It takes advantage of an old program located in your primitive brain. The subconscious program is what got you started down the path of using porn. Consider this experiment. It's been done many times. I guess scientists have nothing better to do. What happens when you drop a male rat into a cage with a receptive female? Well, first, you see a frenzy of copulation. Progressively, the male tires of female number one. She wants more, but he's had enough. He just can't get excited anymore. So, what do you do? Well, replace the original female with a fresh one. And the male revives and gallantly struggles to fertilize her. He keeps on going. Then, the same things happen. The male loses interest in female number two. Starting to see a pattern here. This process can be repeated again and again, but with novel partners. Now, I'm not sure how many times this can be repeated, but this can be repeated until the male nearly dies of exhaustion. See, this is a genetic program. This has nothing to do with your genitals. It's all happening in the brain. And the purpose of it is to make more babies. But even more importantly, it's to increase the genetic variety of the male's offspring. Here's an interesting graph, which happens to be about rams. As we can see, we have female presentation at the bottom. We have time to ejaculation in minutes on the left side, and we have a male. In one experiment, the male had the same female over and over again, and in another experiment, he had different females. How long did it take him to ejaculate? Well, if you look at the same female, he got longer and longer until finally, I guess, when they stopped the experiment, it took 18 minutes. Now, a ram only lives 12 years, so 18 minutes is like 2 hours in our time, so it's quite a bit of time. And of course, with different females, he ejaculated quite quickly, which, of course, means he was very, very excited. If you think about heavy porn users, they often need more novelty, just like these animals, to get excited. Here's what's going on with the animals. It's called the Coolidge effect. It starts out with declining interest in the present sexual partner, then renewed vigor in a novel sexual partner. This is present in all mammals. And it's also present in females, and of course, we said, it's here for genetic variety of the offspring. This is what you started down the road to getting hooked on porn. You see, with porn, you're like a lab rat. Your primitive brain urges you to fertilize the two-dimensional females, or whatever is on your screen. So you're happily married and partnered up. You'd say, no, I'm never going to cheat. Well, either way, the Coolidge effect is still at work in your brain. The more rational parts of your brain are saying, no, I'm not going to cheat. But the primitive parts of your brain are saying, whoa, look at that. Or maybe fantasizing what would be like to have sex, or maybe you're using porn. This is a subtle reminder of the deep programming of your brain, the Coolidge effect, that's there to spread your genes far and wide. Speaking of looking, maybe we're not so unique. Here's an interesting research. The headline is, monkeys pay to see female monkey bottoms. What are they paying with? Well, monkeys love sweets like fruit juice. So in a study, the male monkeys would give up their fruit juice in order to look at female bottoms. You know, this is a little bit like porn, or maybe a lot like porn. Monkey porn. Here's the limbic system. The primitive brain where the old program is installed is often called the limbic system, or mammal brain. It's the part of the brain we have in common with all mammals, including that monkey we just saw. It's true we have only a single brain, but certain parts have specific jobs. This part is ancient, 100 million years old or older, and its job is all about survival. Now, I could spend an hour talking about all its functions, but what's important to us is that it governs emotions, such as fear, joy, anger, etc. And importantly, it is also the seat of most of our desires and our drives, including hunger, mate selection, and our sexual urges. You see, sexual desire or libido is not in your genitals, it's here. This is where you experience the Coolidge effect, and where all addictions happen, including porn addiction. In this graphic, you can see a limbic system in dark color. and the cerebral cortex on the outside, which is very large in humans and much smaller in monkeys and rats and other animals. You can think of cerebral cortex as the rational, logical brain, sort of like Spock on Star Trek. It's not emotional, it's the planning, thinking part of our brain, which comes up with clever ideas. Now, the cerebral cortex understands the consequences of our actions. The limbic system does not. Like car engines all have the same basic design, so do all limbic systems, whether it belongs to a rat, cat, dog, or us. Now, whether it's hunger, mothering, mating, or sexual desire, or even addiction, the same brain chemicals and structures do the same jobs in all mammals. You see, scientists aren't studying rat brains to try and figure out how to help rats. No, they're studying them to help us with our addictions, and other reasons. The study is useful to us because limbic systems are so similar in all mammals. It's important to remember that the chemical balance of our limbic system shapes how we see the world, shapes our mood. If our limbic brain is out of balance, so is our decision-making. At its most basic, the limbic system is all about avoiding pain and repeating pleasure. You see, survival depends on the avoidance of pain, both physical and emotional, and the repetition of pleasure. Hot stove bad, ice cream good, mummy good, snake bad, porn good. You get the idea. Now, you're looking at the center of the brain, sliced down in the middle, and you can see there is this pretty small area called reward circuit. Sometimes you'll also hear the term reward center, and you can see that it actually goes from the limbic system up to the rational brain. This is so important. We're going to be spending most of our time talking about this circuit. You see, this is where you experience all desire and most pleasure, such as sex and orgasm. It's also where you decide what you don't like and what you do like, and that's why it's pretty important. It's small, but in essence, it's running the show. You never make a decision without consulting your reward circuit. If you're addicted to anything, here's where it happened. The reward circuitry is activated whenever we engage in behaviors that further our survival, or more importantly, the survival of our genes. The rule is this: to get motivated, you must be rewarded. So this circuit gives you feelings of pleasure and also the motivation to seek out pleasure. It drives you to eat, engage in sex, take risks, and bond. It's where you fall in love with your spouse and with your children and your parents. It also gets activated when your team wins or you feel like an alpha male or you're bungee jumping. The more exciting the experience, the stronger this reward circuitry is activated. But keep in mind that it's also activated for simple pleasures like watching a beautiful sunset, a walk in the woods, or even a smile from a girlfriend. Chemicals turn on and off certain parts of the brain. For the reward circuitry, it's dopamine. It's the main chemical of a group called a neurotransmitters that turns the reward circuitry on. The reward circuitry is the engine. It truly is. And dopamine is the gas. If you really like high-calorie foods, that may be because you actually get a bigger blast of dopamine for it than you do for low-calorie foods. You crave them more because they register as more rewarding. That's why you choose chocolate cake over Brussels sprouts. It has been programmed. Give me high calories. Think about sugar. A sugar buzz is dopamine acting on the reward circuitry. It's not the sugar in your blood acting on the brain. Now, excluding drugs like meth or cocaine, orgasm is the biggest blast of dopamine. Dopamine has lots of nicknames. The craving neurochemical. The I've got to have it no matter what neurochemical. You see, it's behind all motivation to do anything. You're not craving ice cream or sex with a porn star. No, you're actually craving more stimulation of your reward circuitry. You don't want to win the lotto. You want to activate your reward circuitry. The bigger the surge of dopamine in response to something, the more you want it. Here's a question. Why don't those hedge fund billionaires retire? They certainly don't need any more money. Yes, they want more dopamine in the form of winning at the stock market game. Here's the normal pattern of dopamine release. It looks something like a roller coaster because, in biology, what goes up must come down. It could be food, sex, or even water when you're thirsty. So, Let's say you're hungry. Dopamine starts rising. Then you think about a burger, and it rises more. When the burger is sizzling, dopamine's going way up. It peaks right about your first bite, then you take some more bites, and it starts to drop off, and finally drops back down to normal levels, and you're full. This graph could also represent masturbating or having sex, and the peak would be right about at orgasm. However, I really want to point out that the experience of orgasm is probably driven by other neurochemicals called opiate, not dopamine. So, dopamine drives you towards orgasm, but the feeling of orgasm arises from something else. The rise of dopamine levels could also represent anything new or novel, because dopamine loves novelty. A new car, a just-released movie, the latest gadget. We're all hooked on dopamine. You can have a spike of dopamine just by ordering dessert, even though you haven't finished what's on your plate. Dessert is something new. In fact, dopamine surging in your reward circuitry can override your feelings of what's called satiety or fullness, regardless of what your rational brain may think about overeating or even watching porn. As with everything new, the thrill fades and dopamine levels drop. Now, back to the Coolidge effect. So, dopamine is what is behind the Coolidge effect. If you look at our little graph here, we have a female rat number 1, female rat number 2, and dopamine level. What's happening is that the reward circuitry of the male is squirting less and less dopamine in each copulation with female number 1. And then eventually, the male can no longer copulate because there's not enough dopamine. Dopamine is behind libido. Then you drop in female number 2. And the male gets another squirt of dopamine that surges his libido, and he goes back to work. This is what's behind the Coolidge effect, and it's also why you click onto new videos while you're watching porn, to get another big squirt of dopamine with something novel. Okay, let's give another nickname to dopamine. Let's call it the molecule of addiction. It's because changes in your brain that lead to addiction caused by changes in dopamine level. Cocaine, alcohol, nicotine, they all feel different, but all of them flood the reward circuitry with dopamine. All addictive chemicals and activities raise dopamine levels. It's what makes them potentially addictive. Of course, you need continued use of the addictive substance or activity to cause physical changes that lead to addiction. Here's an odd thing. We've mentioned it before. Dopamine is released in response to expectations rather than actual levels of pleasure. It's the drive to get it. It's the craving. But as I've mentioned, the actual pleasure of eating or orgasm is probably opioids. Those are morphine-like chemicals being released in the brain. Dopamine is wanting it. Opiates are liking it. Addictions are basically chasing after dopamine. So what happens is addiction is wanting more, but liking it less. Speaking of wanting and the power of the reward circuitry, here's an experiment. We have a rat, and you see there's a wire, and then there's this electrode that's actually going to the reward circuitry of the rat. And the rat has its little paw on a lever, and whenever it hits that lever, it sends just enough electricity to the reward circuitry to stimulate it. Now, what will happen is this rat will just keep hitting the lever, and hitting the lever thousands of times an hour until it drops. It won't stop to eat, sleep, have sex, or even take care of the pups. It'll give up everything just to press that lever. As we know, this behavior is not unlike some serious drug addicts. Here's another experiment. They take the same rat and they have an electric grid between the lever and the rat. So the rat has to feel painful shock in its little paws to go over to the lever and press it. Well, the rat will actually cross the bridge and endure the shock. But if you take the rat and put an electric grid between them and food, they will not cross the electric grid. They will not undergo shocks to eat food. They would rather starve. Here's more experiment to show the power of dopamine in your reward circuitry. If you take rats and block their dopamine, they have absolutely no motivation. They'll not even eat. They won't walk over to the food dish and they'll starve to death. But they still like food. If you drop food into their mouths, they eat it and show little rat smiles. They just have no motivation to go get it. They lie around. They won't have sex either. The male rats show no signs of libido. The key point is, you need the right level of dopamine to function normally. It does lots of important jobs. Dopamine gives you that positive outlook, good attitude, keeps you motivated, keeps you happy. Incidentally, many psychological problems involve dopamine imbalances, including addictions. This is an addiction test. If you say yes to three or more of these questions, then you have an addiction. At least, according to the American Psychiatric Association. I want to admit that this is slightly abridged. I had to take some things out, and the reality is, it's used for substance abuse, not for porn addiction. If you say yes to two or less, then you can just stop the video and click onto your favorite site. Let's go over each one. Tolerance. That's a strange word, but it means, has your use increased or escalated over time? In other words, do you watch it for more hours? Or have you escalated to more shocking or more extreme porn? Withdrawal. It's not necessary to have withdrawal symptoms if you have an addiction, but most users on our forum do experience some symptoms when they quit. It varies a lot. Could be anxiety, irritability, fatigue, depression. Those are the most common. But some also experience physical symptoms, like cold and flu symptoms, headaches, the inability to sleep, and others. Number 3. Difficulty controlling your use. So, do you use for a longer time than you'd like to? I think that's pretty clear, self-explanatory. Number 4. Do you understand the negative consequences it does to your mood, to your health? Porn use has been associated with anxiety disorder and sexual dysfunction. Number 5. Neglecting or postponing activities. It means, are you doing porn instead of life? Number 6. The desire to cut down. Now, most addicts say they can quit any time, but they don't. If you've had unsuccessful attempts to cut down, that would be a yes to that question. And last one, number 7. Spending significant time or emotional energy obtaining, using, concealing, planning, or recovering from use. Have you ever concealed your porn use? I think everyone can say yes to that. Here's an explanation on behavioral addictions. It's common knowledge that dopamine-raising substances like alcohol, cocaine, or meth can cause brain changes that lead to addiction. But what about so-called behavioral addictions? These are such things as food, gambling, sex, video games, shopping. Do they cause brain changes that lead to addiction? Well, of course they do. That's why they are addictions. Recent research on gambling, and especially food, has shown brain changes that mimic drug addiction. Internet porn? No one wants to study it. Also, there hasn't been time for many study, because it's a very recent phenomenon. Now, you tell me, which is more stimulating? Eating cheesecake? Or masturbating to porn? It's known that sex, masturbation, orgasm raise dopamine levels far higher than eating food. Which can you spend more time doing in a day? Eating or edging to porn? Let's talk about natural reinforcers. Natural reinforcer is a fancy word for a non-drug activity that causes dopamine release. That includes food, sex, gambling, video games. Now, if you look at the data, about only 15% or less of drug users, this includes animals too, ever become addicted. Obviously, genes are in play, as are childhood experiences. If you look at natural reinforcers, and of course, food is a powerful one, we have a much higher percentage of people who can become addicted. Though, it takes a lot longer than it would with addictive drugs. Now, if you think about it, few people want to be fat. Yet, in modern Western cultures, most people are. Now, rats, on the other hand, don't care if they're fat. When they eat Western food, almost all of them overconsume and become obese, not just fat. This suggests two things when it comes to natural reinforcers. Our reward circuitry evolved. It evolved to drive us toward food and sex and not drugs. That's why so many people can potentially get addicted to food and internet porn. And the other thing is that highly stimulating versions of food and sex can hook us even when we're not genetically susceptible to substance addictions. Here's the question. When can natural reinforcers become addictive? Number one, when they are a highly stimulating version of what our ancestors found really irresistible. Number two, when something is available in limitless supply. Number three, it comes in lots of varieties, which is the novelty factor. Number four, We binge on it without realizing it's triggering brain changes. Now, I think modern food and internet porn fall into all four categories. Both can override our brain's natural satiation mechanisms. The I'm done feeling. And that's because calories and fertilization opportunities really are genes' top priorities. Our limbic system's top priority. Thank you for your wonderful support. You have been enabling us to keep producing content for our better education.